believe in me. That's a lot of sentences the Lord spoke when Paul was on his back. And that tells us a lot of things. It tells us, firstly, that Saul, later called Paul, was born again that day. How do we know he was born again? Because Jesus will not ask someone to be his minister unless a person was converted. And Jesus says, "Rise up, I have now called you to be my witness and my minister." So Saul on the ground, and we also know he acknowledged the Lord. What should I do? Lord, acknowledge Jesus as Lord. So something happened, and he was born again on that day, on the road to Damascus. What a dramatic conversion. Some of us don't have dramatic conversions, but it doesn't matter. Dramatic or not, is to meet the Lord. So it's a dramatic encounter. Why dramatic? Because he was 100% with God. Some Christians ask, how come my Christian life doesn't have much to it? Say, what's Some sort of that passion or zeal or something. Believe me, if you go 100% with God, or 110, in fact, Paul went 110% with God. He went above the 100%. If you are someone who goes beyond 100%, 110% in the things of Christianity and the things of Christ, you will find God does dramatic things. You want drama in your life, not the right kind of drama. The kind of biblical drama that will make your life with God and your walk with God exciting. You go 110% and see what happens. No, most people don't have much drama in the Christian life. The only drama that happens is in the world, or the drama that they watch. There's not much drama in the Christian life. How can we have drama in our Christian life when we walk with God 50% or 30%? Paul walked 110% with whatever he knew, whatever knowledge he had. And there was a dramatic encounter he had with God. In all my life as a minister, I have not seen Christians who walk 110% with God not experience supernatural things. Never. Every one of them, at some point, has some supernatural intervention in their life. Dramatic. The vast majority of us, of Christians who don't walk with God, don't even realize that God is just some concept in their mind, or some room in their life. You want God and the serious. Our God is real. What has happened to the parting of the Red Sea, the signs, the wonders, the miracles of God? What has happened? Because we are not walking at 110% with God. God finds a man who will walk 110% with him. Starts him on a dramatic conversion. Gives him instruction about his future life. And when he got up, he couldn't see. He was blind. 3 days later, he was baptized in the Spirit. He received the baptism in the Spirit. We know the story in Acts chapter 9. So he was born again on the road to Damascus. And in Acts chapter 9, he began to call someone else, called Ananias, another disciple in verse 10. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision. So God gave Ananias a vision. And here's Ananias, who doesn't know a thing about what was happening to Saul. Saul was infamous as a persecutor. Every Christian who was a Christian in that time knew who Saul was. He's a bad guy. He was a bad guy. Every Christian knows about him. So here's Ananias, who was another Christian who walks 100% with God. He was a prayerful man. As he was praying and praying, spending time with God, one day, Jesus appeared to Ananias. And Jesus said in verse 10, Ananias, And Ananias said, "Here I am, Lord." He's not even surprised. He said, "Huh? Huh?" He said, "Here I am, Lord." He's all ready to serve God. And the Lord said in verse 11, "Arise, go to the street called Straight, inquire the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias," that is him, "coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." In verse 13, Ananias said, "Lord, I have heard many things. I heard from many about this man. How much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." So Ananias was saying, "Lord, you're sending me to this guy who has done all these things." Jesus was so specific. He revealed the name of the person whom he was to pray for. He revealed the house to which he was to go. He revealed the street to which he was to go. And he revealed what he was to do when he sees him. Very specific word of knowledge. And Ananias said, "But Lord, you know this guy." And then God gave him a prophecy about Saul. And here is, God says to him in verse 15, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." So Saul had a call of God to Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. God already had his call determined. Ananias obediently went. And the Bible tells us in verse 17, Ananias went his way, entered the house, laying his hands on him. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. So, lay hands on Paul. 3 days later, Ananias lay hands on him, and he was touched by God, and he was filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. He received the Holy Spirit. He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That's Saul, converted, ready for ministry. The prophecy says he will go to the Gentiles, he will go before kings, he will go before the children of Israel. And when Saul tried to do that, in Acts chapter 9, in verse 20, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Of course, everyone was surprised. Say, here's this guy who was a persecutor, now he's talking about Jesus. And in verse 22, Saul increased all the more in strength, confounded the Jews who dwell in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now, verse 23, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. That's a strange thing. I thought God called him. Yes, God has a call on his life. But there was a training process he hasn't gone through yet. Although he was a brilliant man, he was a hardworking man, he was full of the knowledge of the Old Testament, he was not ready yet. So when they tried to kill him, verse 25, the disciples took him by night and let him down to the wall in a basket. In your Bible, it says in verse 26, Saul came to Jerusalem. But when you put all the incidents and stories of Paul together, notice in the book of Galatians chapter 1. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1 and put the story of Paul together. Galatians chapter 1. It tells us here in verse 16 and 17. Are you there? Galatians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. It pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles. And what did Paul say in verse 16? I did not confer with flesh and blood. Nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then he says in verse 18, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. Now, how does that tie up with the book of Acts? Because in the book of Acts chapter 9, in verse 25, he was let down in the basket. Verse 26, he was in Jerusalem. But here in Galatians 1 verse 16, it says, I did not go to Jerusalem. I did not go to Jerusalem until 3 years later. Put the two together. This was your story. Saul, I'll start again. He was the chair's representative thing now. He was converted. Acts 9. Converted. 3 days later, he was baptized in the Spirit. Then he says, over here, he says, in Acts chapter 9, verse 26, he landed in Jerusalem. So this third chair is Jerusalem. Galatians chapter 1 tells you in verse 16, I did not go to Jerusalem. You see that? The Bible cannot contradict itself. So the Bible has to be put together. And this is the story. Paul went to Arabia from Damascus. He did not go to Jerusalem. He went to Arabia. 3 years later, he went to Jerusalem. So you got to put Arabia right inside. So in your Bible, in Acts chapter 9, between verse 25 and verse 26 is 3 years. Sometimes the Bible skims over a whole story. Between verse 25 and verse 26, write down Galatians 1 verse 16. So he actually detoured to Arabia. Nobody knows what happened in Arabia except Paul. 3 years he was in Arabia. Then he tells us Arabia, he went back to Damascus a while, and then only he went to Jerusalem. Why did he go to Arabia? To sort out all his theology. The Arabian Nights. Paul has his Arabian Nights without the 40 thieves. Without Alibaba, Paul has his 3 years. 3 years when he sought out all the things. I mean, he had just been converted. All his theology was now upside down. He never saw Jesus the way Jesus was. And Paul, in Arabia and between Arabia and Damascus, that's all the time he spent, 3 years. He was sorting out all his understanding of God. So it's not an instant thing for Apostle Paul. Finally, when he went to Jerusalem, 3 years later in Acts chapter 9, verse 26, people still remember who he was. People still remember him as a persecutor because he was not known yet as a preacher. So in Acts chapter 9, verse 26. If Acts 9 was 1 to 25, is AD 35, then Acts chapter 9 verse 26 is AD 38, 3 years later. AD 38. Verse 26. When Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him. They did not believe that he was a disciple, although 3 years had passed. Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared on how he had seen the Lord on the road, how he had spoken to him, And he was coming in and out at Jerusalem, going in and out.